Oh, sometimes it's hard to come through. But, you know, by God's grace and His favor, He's able to do everything. Before I start, I want to give a testimony. In my life, I had a situation going on, but, you know, God is a great God. He does everything. Once you're for God, He's for you. Let me tell you that. You don't know. Oh, God has been so gracious to us. And we thank Him for everything He's done for us so far. Anyhow, today my sermon is going to be on choices. It's going to be taken from Joshua 24, verses 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day today, O God. Lord, as we go into your word today, O God, let it minister into our hearts today, O God. Lord, let us see what you are, God, and there is none like you, and serve me in spirit and truth. Let your word manifest in our hearts today, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good. I want to ask you something now. Do we make the right choices all the time? We make bad choices too, right? Do you know the choices you and I make will break our lives or build them? It will determine our destiny. Therefore, it is very important that you make the right choices in life. What does the word choice mean? It means to think fit, to do, or to decide to do. Every day, all of us make choices. Some of them may be good, and some of them may be bad. If the choices we made were good, we benefit. If they were bad, we suffer. Would you like to be able to make the right choices in life? If you would like to, here's what to do. There's two ways in which you can make the right choices. Right? The first one. Look to God and His Word to help you make right choices. Can you please pull up Isaiah 45:22 for me, please? Good. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. So who should we look to?
God.
God. We shouldn't look to man. We shouldn't look to idols. Who we should look to?
God.
So, according to the Bible, God is omniscient, or knows everything. He knows all the past, present, and future. Seeing that He knows the future, we should look directly to Him and His Word for guidance. Whenever we are making choices, as long as we look to Him and His Word for guidance, when making choices, we can never go wrong. So, all we have to do, that's the first one, all we have to do is look to God. If I know God, right? And He knows past, present, and future, right? So we want to look to Him, right? Because He knows everything. So if He knows everything, why would I want to go to anybody else? Or why would I want to look into any idols or anything? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and He will show you the right way or help you to do the right thing. or make the right choices. Two, the second thing you need to do to make the right choices. After knowing what God wants you to do, choose to obey Him and obey Him. James 1:22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word or become knowledgeable of the word and so deceive yourselves. You have to do what it says. So we can't just listen to the word. Our actions have to speak louder than our words, right? So we have to do what we hear or do what we say. We can't merely listen to it. If when making choices in life, we look to God and His word for guidance and do what God and His word tells us to do, He will bless us, make us prosperous and successful in every area of our lives. James 1:25 tells us, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law, or the word of God, that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. It was said in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law of the Lord shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. But if we don't look to God and His word for guidance when making choices, we will make wrong choices and suffer the consequences. So, when we make the wrong choice, it always have consequences, right? So, if we have, like, we commit a crime, right? God forgive us, yes. But you still have to pay for it, right? You have to pay for it. You have to pay with money or in jail. Right? So, we gotta look to God in all things we do. The choices we make, whether right or wrong, will determine our destiny. And we will have to give an account to God for our choices. I would like us to look at a person in the Bible who made one of the greatest choices in life on what he did. Who had to make one of the greatest choices in life on what he did. The Bible teaches us in the book of Mark, chapter 10, 17 to 22. As Jesus started on his way, a young man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. The good teacher, that's Jesus. He asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Who was this young man that came running to Jesus? According to the Bible, he was a rich, religious man. But although he was rich and religious and young, he did not have the life of God. And as such, he was unsaved or a sinner. So as a sinner, what does it mean? As a sinner, he was a child of the devil. He had his nature. He's in his kingdom. Was governed by demon spirits. And could have been afflicted and even possessed by demon spirits. As a sinner, he was spiritually dead. He was governed by his sinful nature. And he did not have God living in him. He was cursed, subjected to all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. Was condemned under the judgment of God and was going to hell, a place of everlasting torments and punishments. And my friends, it doesn't matter what is our status in life. Maybe rich, poor, educated, uneducated, religious, non-religious. If we don't have the life of God, we are sinners. And our condition is just like this young man that came to Jesus. When the young man came to Jesus, what did he ask him? He asked him what he should do to have the life of God. How many kinds of life does the Bible teach us about? There's three kinds of life, right? Physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. So, which life did this boy come to ask Jesus for? Is it physical life? No, it can't be that. He had physical life already. He was living. It can't be eternal life because everybody has eternal life. So you came to ask for spiritual life. So what is spiritual life or the life of God? Spiritual life or the life of God is the life and nature of God. Right? When this rich young religious man came to Jesus, he asked for spiritual life, right? So although this man was young, rich, and religious, and did not have spiritual life, my friend, it does not matter what is your status in life. You may be rich, poor, educated, uneducated, religious, non-religious. You have everything. You could have so many cars. You have many soul. You could own everything, but once you have spiritual life, you have nothing. Because without God, it doesn't matter. This world is not my home. Just to pass it through, right?
Amen.
What did Jesus told him to do in order to have spiritual life? He said, keep the commandments. Matthew 19:17 tells us, Jesus replied, if you want to enter life or have spiritual life, obey the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Could any human being in their own power and strength keep the commandments of God?
No.
What do you think?
No.
Only God could do that, right?
Yeah.
Why did Jesus then ask this man to keep the commandments? So if we can't, nobody can keep these commandments, right? Why did God, Jesus himself, ask this boy to keep the commandments? Knowing that he cannot do it. So, Jesus did this, right? Why did Jesus ask the man to keep the commandments? Because the commandments would have helped him to realize who he was. And who he was? A sinner. Romans 3:20 tells us, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight or be put right in God's sight by observing the law or by keeping the law. Through the law, we become conscious of sin or realize that we are sinners. Surprisingly, the man said he kept all the commandments Jesus told him to keep since he was a boy. Was he telling the truth? No, because it's not possible other than Jesus for anybody to keep the commandments, right? But Jesus did not comment on what he said. Verse 21 of Mark 10 says, Jesus looked at him and loved him, and he wanted him to have salvation, which was the most important thing in life. So it doesn't matter if we have house, if we have car, if we have money, if we have anything. If we don't have salvation, we have nothing. Salvation, that is the most important thing in life.
Yeah,
so he said to him, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. In other words, Jesus our Lord was saying to himself, if you want to have salvation, then you must do what I tell you to do. You must make a full commitment of your life to me.
All right.
Here, the rich, religious young man had one of the greatest choices in life to make. To reject Christ or accept him as his Savior and only Lord. What was he going to do? Okay, if this was you, right? What would you have done in that time? What do you think you would have done? You have everything except salvation. But you want salvation. You think how hard this choice was for you to make. What do you think? It was hard, right? Because you had everything. Anything you want, you can get. Right? So, this boy was pondering. He was saying this. He didn't say this, right? He was in his mind. He's like, what should I do? Should I go and sell everything? But, you know, if I accept Jesus now, he didn't know that when you accept Jesus, you have eternal life. You got everything, right? So in verse, he said, accept Christ or reject him. No one could have made that choice for him. God made him a free moral agent, and only he could have made that choice for himself. So nobody can. So if you had to make this choice, right? Nobody can tell you. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Young people, if they make up their mind to something, it's done. I'm telling you. I know, as for a part of myself, if I make up my mind to something, I don't matter about heaven or earth to move, I'm still doing the same thing. Right? So, he had to make up his choice for himself. Nobody can tell him what to do. He had to make that choice for himself. That's like God was saying, he would tell us, once we don't make that choice for himself, no matter how much you talk, we would never be there. Right? So, in verse 22 of Mark 10, revealed the choice the rich religious young man made. It says, at this time, the man's face fell. Because he had everything, right? So he chooses wealth we have now and leaves salvation. So, Matthew account says, when the young man heard what he was supposed to do in order to receive spiritual life, he went away sad because he had great wealth.
All right.
In other words, when this rich religious young man heard what he had to do in order to have spiritual life, he was not willing to do it and went away sad. He made a choice not to follow Jesus. When this man made a choice not to follow Jesus, did Jesus went to him and begged him to follow him? No. Then he said, young man, don't bother with the requirement for following me. Come, you are rich, support my ministry, and you will have treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
No, he did not say that. Right? So, I don't want to say this, but you know, so these days, I know some preachers would go after that. Because they're lost. They don't have the life of God. They think about great wealth and they say, well, yes, we have everything. Jesus will be proud. Right? But no, God doesn't want that. You have to choose for yourself. It's either you are for Christ or against him. Jesus our Lord himself said in Luke 11:23, he who is not with me, it's against me. My friends, if you make a decision not to follow Jesus, you are against him.
Yes. All right.
Amen.
According to the Bible, there is no records that this rich, religious young man ever made a choice to follow Jesus. That meant he went away from Jesus. He went away still being a child of the devil, having his nature, being his kingdom, being governed by demon spirits. He still could have been afflicted and possessed by demon spirits. He was still a sinner, having his sinful nature governing him. He was still spiritually dead. He was still cursed, subjected to all kinds of sickness and diseases. He's still condemned under the judgment of God without the peace, love, joy, and satisfaction of God. And he was still going to hell, a place of everlasting torments and punishments. Right now, this boy is in hell, right? So he didn't accept Jesus. We know he's in hell. What do you think going through your mind right now? I should accept Jesus. Right? I should have listened to God and sell all my wealth and follow him. Right? I believe that rich religious man is experiencing pain, torments, sorrows, regrets, and punishments. Maybe he's saying, oh, why did I not make a choice to accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord and follow him? Why was I so foolish? My friends, this man had an opportunity to choose to follow Christ, but he did not.
Right.
Today, my friends, you are having an opportunity to follow Jesus. What would you do? If you decide to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord and decide to follow him, what would be the results? I want to ask you something. Do you think there are people in the church, come to church, and still don't have the life of God?
Yes.
They do. No, it can be in the church for years and still don't have the life of God.
Amen.
You have to choose to accept it.
Yeah.
That's your choice. You know God is so great and mighty. He could have let us don't have to choose, but He gave us a choice.
Yeah.
He gave us a choice to make up our minds to do what we want to do. We have to love Him.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So what would be the results if we followed Him? You would be saved. And what does it mean to be saved? To be saved means instead of being a child of the devil, you would become a child of God. Instead of having the devil's nature, being in his kingdom, being governed by him, and possibly being possessed by demon spirits, you receive God's nature, be put in his kingdom, be governed by him, and receive God's spirit in you. Instead of being a sinner, having your sinful nature governing you, being without the love, joy, and peace of God, you'll become a saint, receive God's nature, love, peace, and joy. Instead of being cursed, subjected to all kinds of sickness and diseases, instead of being under the judgment of God and going to hell, you'll be blessed. You'll be under the protection of God and will be going to heaven. Right? So what is our goal? Our goal is heaven, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So, according to the Bible, after this religious man decided he was not going to make a full commitment of his life to Christ and follow him, Peter spoke up in Mark chapter 10, 28, saying to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you."
All right, sure.
Matthew account saying, Peter answered him, that is Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you, Jesus. What then will there be for us? What benefits or rewards would a person receive if he or she would decide to make a full commitment of his or her life to Christ and follow him wholeheartedly?" Let me give you an example. Joshua and Caleb, right? Remember God promised the 12 tribes, I think, the 12 tribes for the promised land in Numbers 13, 14. He said they were doubting God, right? But Joshua and Caleb didn't. They say this land was like milk and honey. Right? So, they didn't doubt God. And they trust in God. And they obeyed him.
Yes.
And they inherit the promised land. Right?
Yes.
So, to make a full commitment of his or her life to Christ and follow him wholeheartedly, what should we do? No. Okay, when we... The benefits or rewards you would get, right? This would be to receive forgiveness of all your sins, right? God would forgive us of everything we do, no matter what, no matter who you are. God would forgive your sins. They would be given a power by God to overcome all the sinful habits, all your bad habits you have. God would forgive that. God will be giving you the power to overcome all of that. They will be given power over Satan and evil spirits, and they'll be able to defeat them. Would you like to be able to defeat Satan? They will be given power over the world system and will be able to overcome it. You'll be able to overcome the world system. God would come and live within them. They would receive his nature, become his children, be put in his kingdom, and could be controlled by him. They would be able to have fellowship with God, and as they do so, they would become like him in character and be fully satisfied and fulfilled in life. They will receive God's love, joy, and peace. They could have all their problems solved by God, their Heavenly Father. They could have all their needs supplied to the fullest by God, your Heavenly Father. They would be protected 24 hours per day by God, your Heavenly Father. And best of all, when they die, they will go to heaven a place of perfect peace, love, joy, and provision forever.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus our Lord answered to Peter in Mark 10:29, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels, for my sake and the gospels, but he shall receive 100 times as much in the present age.
Amen.
So, when we have the life of God, right? And we have salvation, and then we go to heaven, we have 100 times, no matter whoever we left, we have 100 times. We have 100 times. You, imagine you having 100 homes or 100 cars, right? 100 children. Anyhow, 100 brothers and sisters, 100 mothers, children, fields and lands, and with them everything you could ever ask for. This is to come eternal life with God, right? Oh, my friends and brethren, there is great benefits, there is great rewards when we surrender our all to Jesus. Make a full commitment to him and follow him wholeheartedly. What would be your choice today? Would you reject Christ or accept him as your Savior and Lord? The choice is yours. What must a person do in order to be able to make a full commitment of their life to Christ and follow him wholeheartedly? Realize that he or she is a sinner. Be sorry for living a life of sin and repent. Believe with their hearts and confess with their mouths that Jesus came and paid or died for their sins. He was buried, on the third day he arose again from the dead. Receive Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. When a person does these things, he or she would be saved. Recapping. What is choice? What does choice mean? What choice mean? The thing fit to do or to decide to do. How to be able to make right choices? What do we have to do first? We have to look to God and his word. To practice or obey the guidance received from God and his word. What is the greatest choice any human being can make? What do you think? What's the greatest choice any human being can make?
Choose Christ.
Choose Christ, right? So when we choose Christ, we have everything else.
Yes.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Hallelujah.
To receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and live according to the Bible, what would be the results if we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord? He will bless us in this life and the life to come. What would be the result if we reject Christ and Savior and Lord? We would suffer in this life and the life to come.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, if you're here right now and you want to ask God to recommit your lives to God, just kindly stand and let us pray. Let us pray to God. And you know that you don't have to stand. You could even sit and just repeat this prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you, O God, for life. We thank you came and you died on the cross for our sins today, O God. Lord, we know that you are God and there is none like you. And there is no other God before you. You are the greatest being that ever walked the earth, O God. Come into my life today, O God. Be my Savior and be my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. That was James King from the Word of God. Hallelujah. The things that you have learned of me, what the Bible says, commit thou to faithful men. Amen? So, we thank God for that. And we trust the Lord that we'll have some of our young people. Amen. Brother Chris, thank you. You'll be able to channel. All right, Brother Chris, say it. We need to have some more of our young people, amen, and some of the girls. We want you to be here with Ann, ministering, praise the Lord.